On the show today, we have NAFQ's very own Brandy Bruyer talking about the latest appeal court ruling in the Domino's ADA case and what it means to credit unions. So check it out. We're talking legal stuff here with NAFQ's very own Brandy Bruyer. Brandy, how are you?
I'm great today, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Hey, we're talking about, I mean, this interview, at least on my time, is before lunch. So it's going to make me a little hungry because we're talking about the appeal court ruling in the Domino's ADA case. And so I'm going to start out with a two-part question for you. What is going on with the Domino's pizza decision and why is this so important to credit unions right now? What's going on here?
Yeah, sure. So first, thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for having me, Mike. Oh, sure. I appreciate it. So yeah, why pizza? Why credit unions? this case was filed against Domino's in September 2016, and a lot of folks were watching it because at the district court level, the outcome was favorable for Domino's. In these cases, we're seeing plaintiffs argue that, hey, you have to follow these private industry standards called WCAG 2.0 or now 2.1.
Okay.
And that's how your website will be, quote, accessible for the ADA. And in dismissing this complaint against Domino's, that trial court had said, hey, I'm not super comfortable with subjecting a business to super strict standards mm-hmm. when the DOJ hasn't actually adopted clear guidelines.
Right.
I'd like to see DOJ weigh in. I think it's a violation of Domino's due process rights, as we lawyers call it, you know, having notice to fix a problem before getting sued.
Right.
So this case had been cited by a lot of folks who were fighting their ADA litigation cases, not just credit unions, but all the other industries that have been hit with these as well. The plaintiff appealed, and the Ninth Circuit ruled that the trial judge got it wrong, right, in dismissing the case. They saw no need to wait for DOJ to weigh in and adopt clear standards, rather sees courts as being able to find resolutions to these cases. They didn't go so far as to say, yeah, we think those private industry standards, those WCAG 2.0, are the answer, but they did say, well, that could be one solution that a court is certainly within its rights to adopt. And they also agreed with the lower court, which had said, hey, this isn't just your websites, it's your mobile apps. So if you're in the Ninth Circuit, you're clearly on notice that, hey, you've got to be looking at your websites and your mobile apps.
Goodness gracious. And it sounds like, I think we've talked about this before, but it sounds like the Department of Justice is kind of like the straw that stirs the drink here. It sounds like we're all kind of waiting on them to set some sort of standard here. And they keep coming up in case after case. It's like, gosh, if they can just, you know, set some sort of standard, we can move on with our lives, basically. I mean, in a nutshell, I mean, that's, you know, in a nutshell.
That's right. We're seeing plaintiff's attorneys take advantage of the fact that there's a gap here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not clear. DOJ under the Obama administration had started taking, well, this goes back really 10 plus years.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Going back as far as maybe 2007 to 2009, the DOJ had looked at this. They asked the public for their comments and their opinions, and they were grappling with the issue, and then it sort of went by the wayside.
Hmm.
And towards the tail end of the Obama administration, the DOJ seemed poised to pick it up again.
Okay.
And then we had the election, and we got new leadership at DOJ. And the new administration pulled back that rulemaking effort, said, no, we're not going to work on that right now. So flash forward to where we are right now. The Department of Justice, it looks like they're getting possibly a new attorney general named William Barr. He was asked by this about this issue during his confirmation hearings and seemed to indicate, no promises, but seemed to indicate he understands this is a problem and, you know, a willingness to take a look at it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're going to continue to work on this issue both on Capitol Hill and with DOJ.
Okay, yeah, because again, this not only affects the credit union industry, but several industries. And so I would think that would be, I don't want to say top priority, but certainly getting pretty far up there. You know, it's like, hey, this something needs to be done because, you know, a lot of us are on the internet.
Just about any business that is open to the public is, you know, public accommodation is affected here. While we're not seeing new lawsuits against credit unions, you are still seeing new lawsuits filed against community banks, against various retailers. There is still litigation activity happening in this area, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, let's take the DOJ and put them over here for now. So the latest.
That's where they put themselves, Mike. It's okay.
I think you're right. How appropriate. So the latest decision, is this good news for credit unions, or should we still be kind of like on our toes with this? What's going on now?
So I don't know that it's good news for credit unions, but I don't know that it's necessarily bad. The court basically said, it's not great that they didn't necessarily co-sign what the trial court did, right? It would have been nice to see an appellate court say, hey, you can't apply private industry standards mm-hmm. on folks if that's not what the regulator's requiring. That would have been nice, but that's not what we got. So instead, what we have is the clear sign that these WCAG 2.0 standards could be what a court might say, hey, this is what you have to do to be deemed accessible, right? Okay. The idea is that your website can be accessed by folks with disabilities and impairments. So we'll see. And it's not specific to credit unions. So when we pivot to that, we actually did see a couple weeks ago something that was specific in a credit union case. So out in Texas, NACU had filed an amicus brief in the Houston courts supporting one of our members. And that court actually came out and said, we don't think a website is a place. And so they decided to extend the ADA to the credit union's website. And apparently that jurisdiction is a little bit more strict on their reading of the ADA. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that will get the DOJ to kind of move a little bit more, but that's more specific to a credit union case. What we're seeing in overall is we have three circuit courts that are looking at or will be looking at whether or not you need to be a member of a credit union,
right?
To have standing to file the lawsuit. We don't have anything like that in the Ninth Circuit right now. But what we do have is, hey, this case that we'd all been citing favorably to, we can't cite favorably to anymore, mm-hmm. right? Because we have the appellate court disagreeing. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is find different cases that support us if we're going to fight some of these. And keep looking for clear rules for the road as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. From somebody looking at it from the outside in, me, you know, just regular person who's not really too well versed in the legalese and legal systems. But it sounds like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is talking about, because you got all these different courts that are making a decision on this, and then the other one's making a decision over here. Somebody else is overruling somebody. At what point are we going to get some consistency?
So I think what you just articulated is why I became a compliance attorney and not a litigator, because you're right. What happens is this circuit's doing one thing and that circuit's doing another thing, and these lower courts are all reaching different decisions. And, and in part, it's because they're tackling a difficult, challenging issue.
Sure.
I would think we're going to continue to see inconsistent outcomes across jurisdictions until either A, the Department of Justice adopts some clear rules of the road, mm-hmm. or in some cases, not many, but sometimes you'll see what lawyers like to call a circuit split, right? The different federal appellate courts aren't reaching the same outcome. They're mm-hmm. not reaching the same answer.
Right.
And those are sometimes the kinds of cases that the Supreme Court would decide are worth weighing in on, mm-hmm. right? They only take about 100 or so cases a year, so they're not going to weigh in on everything. And in that case, we don't have any case that I'm aware of that's quite at that point yet.
Okay.
So those are kind of our two possible pathways to getting a little bit more clarity. And I think one, the DOJ might be a little bit, we're hoping that one will be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I would think so too. Okay, so let's see here. I'm trying to think. How many are there more and more cases? What's the caseload, I guess, for this toward credit? Is it leveling off now? Is it still maintaining or is it increasing?
So it's hard to believe, but this time last year, we were really in the thick of filing amicus briefs and helping our members. And in the last 6 to 8 months, that we're still tracking the issue, but we've not seen a new federal case filed against a credit union in about 6 or 8 months.
Okay.
And I think the standing cases, like the one we saw out of the Fourth Circuit Court saying, hey, if you're not a member and you can't be a member, you can't show the kind of concrete harm you need to get your foot in the door in federal court. Mm-hmm. What that means is, we're not as easy of a target as maybe some other industries are,
because of
field of membership, because we serve our members, not everybody, all comers. Mm-hmm. That being said, we've got two courts, that largely serve the Midwest, the Seventh Circuit and the Sixth Circuit, not to get us back into that confusing landscape of the jurisdictions of the court, but though there's some credit union, two credit unions in Michigan and a credit union in Illinois actually lost their motions to dismiss at federal court, and they've appealed them. And we'll see if those courts are willing to agree that to have standing, you've got to be, you know, a member of the credit union or in the credit union's field of membership.
Right. Don't you think along the line somewhere, somebody's got to set a precedent to which to, I guess, rule by, I guess? I mean,
Right. And the Fourth Circuit went ahead and did that, and they have another case that's pending before them. We saw that in early January, I believe. So what we've got three different federal courts that are looking at this, at least from can you sue the credit union, right? Can you sue the credit union if you're not in the field of membership and you're just what they call a tester, right? You're out there in the marketplace trying to get as many businesses as possible following the you know, what you want to be the rules of the road. But for now, if I'm a plaintiff's attorney, right, the name of the game here is usually churning out demand letters. You want to make money, right? Litigation costs money. You want to, and also to be fair to them, a lot of them are genuinely trying to affect social change, right? Mm-hmm. They want websites to be accessible to folks. And of course, credit unions understand that too. Yeah. We just want to make sure that when we do put our resources into that, it's the best thing for our members. And it's also going to be following clear rules of the road.
Indeed.
Credit unions we talk to, they want to help members. They want to help. They want to be as accessible as possible. And so they're doing some of that work already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what we all, I think that's the end goal right there. That's what we all want right there, is to serve anybody and everybody fairly and with equal accessibility, all that great stuff. So definitely. But it's the frivolous cases that are just kind of, you know, mucking things up a little bit.
That's right. And extracts out those resources that otherwise could be used to make sure that those members are getting the service that they need.
Most certainly. All right, Brandy. Well, it sounds like we're still kind of stuck in the spider webs here. But it sounds like, though, but things are turning toward the better as far as, like, not as many cases are being launched, all that type of stuff. So it's that's good news. And it sounds like we're progressing.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. That's what we like to hear. All right, cool. Anything else? Any final words here to wrap up? Any final words of wisdom on this topic that we need to know about?
No. Other than, you know, we stand by credit unions. We're trying to get clear rules for the road here. And, you know, credit unions at the end of the day, though, do understand the importance of the ADA, and NACU supports that goal too. Yep. We just want to make sure that we find it in a balanced way that thinks about resources and doing the right thing for credit union members.
I agree wholeheartedly. You might want to get that phone too. It could be.
Yeah, I know. I'm suddenly really popular. I thought I had myself on Do Not Disturb, but I failed.
It could be the Department of Justice calling you. So anyway, all right, we digress. Thank you so much, Brandy. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the hard work you guys are doing as well. And look forward to the next chapter when we talk again on this topic.
Yep. Have a great afternoon, Mike.
Okay. You as well. Thanks.